So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to do a real quick review. By the way, those of you that were here last week, thank you for coming back again this week. That was a lot of information last time. Marnie said afterwards, she's like, how was that? And I'm like, boring. Steven texted me, how'd the message go? I'm like, wow. Like, it was good. I mean, it was scriptural, but I'm like, that was so much stuff. I just really feel like I felt sorry for you guys. So thank you for enduring that. I know it was foundational, and it was really, I was telling Alan and Shauna we're in later on, and because they, Shauna had missed or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, we grueled our way through. I mean, it was good, but hopefully today is a little less overload of information. But just a really quick review, kind of this is some of the things that we've learned in, we learned that charisma is the Greek word. It means grace gift. We're talking about, right now in this little section, we're talking about the gifts of God. Okay, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're really the gifts of God. They're administered by the Holy Spirit. But they're the gifts of God. They're given to us, through us, in us, by God. And we read all kinds of different lists. And in a charismatic church like this, we've said this 2 weeks in a row, that charisma, meaning gift, and you find that list in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, prophecy. We have all those, kind of the sign gifts or the whatever, those kind of things that you find in this kind of church. That often comes from that word charisma, which means grace gift, but that word can be used for any of the gifts. And so we've tried really hard to not kind of segregate and make lists and separate, because there's a number of different sections that talks about the gifts. I was listening to a guy preach yesterday on my way back from being sore from snowboarding, and he was talking about his concept on all the different lists. There's four different places at least. There's really about seven or eight different places where we'll mention the gifts just a little bit. And his concept, and I think he might be right, he said that it's meant to not be an all-inclusive list, but it's meant to be a... And I've never really heard that before, and I haven't really mulled that over in my mind, but I think that's right. I think God can give people gifts that maybe aren't even listed in there, but are consistent with His Word and don't go against what His Word says, but yet, how would you list out every single one? So that's kind of my new thought that I had in my head today, but you see some of the gifts cross over. You know, one will be in this list, but it's also in this list. Well, then, so different preachers have different ways, and different churches have different ways of explaining that. And so we didn't go into that at all. We didn't want to get bogged down with any of that. Just to say that this, it's the grace of God. It's His grace in our lives to work through us and do incredible things. So a grace gift. Grace gift. It's all His grace. It's all the Holy Spirit. And I may get to this again later, but let me say it right now. We are really good as humans at putting people on pedestals, aren't we? We like to have, and I'm not saying it's wrong looking up to someone. I'm not, and for sure we should have mentors, and that's super biblical. I mean, really just people that are pouring into us, you know, fathers and sons and kind of those, and like non-biological fathers and sons, church fathers and sons, people that are pouring into other people, mothers and daughters, learning from one another. But at the same time, we kind of like superstars, man. We like, boy, he's so spiritual. And let me tell you this, while we can grow in our gifts, we will talk about that, they're all the grace of God. It's all the grace of God. And teaching is one of those. And we kind of, and I don't want to maybe say this too harshly, because I don't mean it super harshly, but we can idolize these pastors or teachers or people that can, you know, whatever flavor you're in, you know, whether it's doing miracles or flowing in the gifts or whatever. That's why I really feel like God in His wisdom didn't give all of us all of them at all the time. I feel like we can have access to many of them because they're all from the Holy Spirit. So I don't feel like we're locked into just one of them. But at the same time, He doesn't often display all of them through one of us at one time. You know, it just would be too much for our ego. And He's positioned it so we need each other. I love what Angie said today, you know, with her being so into, you know, kind of the word, the law, that, you know, would be really easy for her to get in that kind of an attitude. So she needs the mercy people to really present an equally valid other facet of God. And so I love that we need each other. And so their charisma, their grace gifts, and we get our word for the church like this that really believes in all the gifts, that they're in operation today. We're a charismatic church. We're charismatic. We've talked about that a couple of weeks in a row now. We've learned this. We learned that all of these gifts, whether it's serving, whether it's teaching, whether it's working miracles, you know, seeing dead people raised, you know, back to life again, which we know people that have seen that over in India and Nepal, seen incredible things. Ray and Wilma Phipps have seen phenomenal things, things that we've only read about. It's a supernatural ability, or whether it's a gift of mercy or kindness, which is mentioned. It's a supernatural ability or a supernatural direction of the Holy Spirit with natural abilities. So we covered that multiple times already, but just wanted to rehash that. We also learned that there's a variety of gifts. There's multitudes of gifts. It's not just when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit or the gifts of God through the Holy Spirit, it's not just the Pentecostal ones. It's the gift of hospitality. It's the gift of serving. It's teaching. It's, you know, it's all these different gifts. Mercy. We also learned, therefore, we in quotes, everyone and each one, because we read, I think, about eight scriptures that each one might prophesy, that everyone's been given this gift. And so in the realm of superstars, there really is none, because gifts have been given to each one. Say this with me. Say, I have a gift.
I have a gift.
Now, sometimes we need to explore, figure out what that gift is, or gifts, or multitudes of gifts. And we also believe that the Holy Spirit can show up spontaneously and just give you that, if it's more of a Holy Spirit kind of sign gift or whatever, that he can show up right in that moment at that time if we're yielded to him and given a gift that we've never experienced before. So they're for everyone and they're for each one. They're all from the same Holy Spirit. This was a big deal for the pagan culture at that time. If you couldn't have children and you wanted to have a baby, so you'd go to the god of fertility and make some kind of sacrifice, and then maybe you could have a baby or whatever. Or if you needed, you know, you were lonely, you needed friendship, you'd go to another god, make a sacrifice there. And there was all these gods that you could, if you wanted your, you know, the harvest, you wanted the god of the harvest, you know, the crops, you'd go to the wheat gods, I don't know, wherever, but there's all these different gods that you would go and sacrifice to in polytheistic culture. And when we read that in Corinthians, we just kind of skip right over it. But to them, it was huge. They're like, wait a minute. When I see this guy doing miracles and I also see this guy serving, that's the same Holy Spirit? And it was kind of bizarre for them because they were so used to, you have to remember that the Bible's written to a culture and to a people. And so in that culture, there was all these other gods and each god had one job. Well, the Holy Spirit does all these jobs. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, just want to make sure we're together. And we also read at least four different places where the Bible says to eagerly desire, earnestly, eagerly. Those are not casual words. Those are intense words. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. So that's our review. So let's finish up with this. And we were answering the question, how does this work? How do we do these gifts? This is not a full-blown explanation of how the gifts work. These are just some highlights. So 1 Corinthians 14:12 says this. So it is with you, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit. Say eager. It's really bothering me what that story was about. I can't even remember what that was about. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, this is something that bothered me as a Pentecostal. Because in it, particularly in our little circle, God only does things, in that, trust me, it's in your circle too. However you grew up, God only does things certain ways at certain, you know, it doesn't matter what that looks like. We all have it. And so in our circle, it was, God is this sovereign, explosive. When he shows up with the gift, you're just like almost kind of like possessed of God, and you don't kind of have no control over it, and I've got this fire in my belly kind of thing. That's really Pentecostal, kind of like once God shows up and I have to say it, whatever. We didn't have a lot of room for that next after the comma there. Try to excel in those that build up the church. That points to you. And what I really want to capture is the essence of this, is it's the Holy Spirit in us with these grace gifts, whether it's serving, teaching, prophecy, word of wisdom. I mean, any of the about 20 that are listed in there, it's all God. Yet it's not all God. I mean, it's all God on his end, but we still have to be willing vessels. We still have to be yielded. We still have to open a, like, how much prophecy could we have if I would just be like, you have to open your mouth. You have to actually say words. So don't say it's all God. I mean, it really is all on his end, but at the same time, it's not like we have a part to play. And so there's this partnership. And so it's, really think of it like a dance, and he's totally leading. But if, I don't know, Steve and Trisha talked a couple weeks ago about their dance classes or whatever, and you don't want to see Marnie and I in dance class. Well, you probably do, like on a highlight reel, because it's pretty funny. But, you know, like if we're just both kind of clunky or whatever, like if you're just resistant and not leading, it's not going to be beautiful. Any dancing that we do is not going to be beautiful. Just saying, for Marnie and I. She's beautiful. Our dancing, not so much. We hold each other and waddle. It's a true story. It's pretty romantic. So in our kitchen, we'll often do that. We kind of embrace, and then it's the awkward giggle, and then we just waddle. But it's lovely to us, just not to anyone else that would have to look at it. But it's this, using the gifts is like a dance. It's really letting God lead, and it's us being responsive to that leading. So there is a part that we play. And just wanted to make that point there, that we need to try to excel in that. That there is a, there's part that we do. So Romans 12, 6 through 8. We've read this already in a couple different contexts, but I'm going to read this same section again, and I have different parts highlighted this time. And I want you to just see the flavor of this. As Paul is writing this, and he's talking about gifts, he's giving the human part. This is all pointing to the human part of the dance, okay? He's listing these gifts, but he's pointing towards the humanity of it. In his grace, God has given us different gifts, and we looked at that last time, the, you know, charis and then charisma. Charis is grace. Charisma is grace gifts. So those two words are in the first sentence there. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, now he flips the switch here. He turns it from being so much about prophecy to being about your response to it. What's our response? Speak out with as much faith as God has given you, man. Like, use it to its fullest capacity. He's saying you have a responsibility. The verse that we just read just before this, try to excel. He's kind of really, he's like picking that apart a little bit here. And he's just giving this challenge. Okay, you can prophesy. Great. Well, do it with all of your faith. Like, engage all the faith that you have. And in fact, even God will grow your faith. And maybe you'll be able to prophesy even more later and more accurately and more anointed and more with the timing right at the right moment. And it's better and better. He says in verse 7, if your gift is serving others, all right? Does anyone know someone that might have the gift, maybe might have the gift of serving others, or you might yourself? Yay, I have a gift of serving. Big deal. No, if you have the gift of serving, if your gift is serving, serve them well. Like, he puts a descriptor on it. He didn't say, serve because that's all you get to do, or cool, you're serving. You know, like, he points to your responsibility in this. Do you feel that we could get better, even if our supernatural gift is serving, do you feel that we could get better at that? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Here's why I know this. Look at the next sentence. If you are a teacher, teach well. There's been lots of people, amen, that teach badly. They're gifted as teachers, but they haven't put in the time. They haven't developed that gift. And we can think about this in the natural really easily. But you got to remember, there's a natural part to the supernatural component. Like, God brings the supernatural And he infuses it, and he brings it so that as we teach and as we unfold the things of God, that there's just a presence and an anointing on that, and it dives right into people's hearts, and our minds are enlightened, and we're like, oh, whoa, I never thought about it like that. That's amazing. Or sometimes you get like me, and it's just, wow, he should shut up. This is boring. You know what I mean? Like, we want to do it well. If we're a teacher, we should be a student of the word, but we should also be a student of people, because that's who we're teaching. If I'm just going to drone on like this and this, and praise God, brother. Like, if, let me say this caveat. Some of the old preachers that God really moved on were like that. They cared so much of God's presence, you know, so much of the anointing, and it was for that time or whatever. I'm just saying, if you teach and you are clueless, if I could come up and stop you, if you were teaching and I could stop you at any moment and say, what percentage of the crowd is with you? If you can't give me a pretty decent answer, you need to be a student of people. Like, I know when you guys have checked out. I need to know that because it's my responsibility to teach you well. And I don't like when people that are in their gift say, well, they just weren't receiving that. You know, you're the teacher, buddy. You figure out a different way to say it. You get better at it. You listen to God better. And I get it. Sometimes there's people are just, you know, maybe you know that it's for that moment and they're just hard-hearted or whatever. But at the same time, if I'm not communicating it well, that's on me. That's not on you. That's on me. So it's my job as a teacher. It's your job as a servant. It's your job as a someone who prophesies. Do it well. If your gift is to encourage others, here's some genius information. Be encouraging. But so often we have gifts and we're not walking in them. They're not being expressed fully in our life. Yes or no? Have you ever felt like you've had a gift in your life but you were not using it to its fullest capacity? Yes or no? I see heads bobbing. We can resonate with that. Absolutely. Of course we are. Of course we're not always operating at 100%. Sure we are. And so that's one of those statements. If your gift is to encourage others, Lord have mercy, we need you. Be encouraging. And Paul's just saying, activate that bad boy. Like, if that's your gift, come on. Pull the trigger on that thing. There's people that are dying that need your words of life. Amen. And we covered this last time and the time before, but we're all to be encouraging. Yes. We're all at some level a teacher. We're all, you know what I mean? But some of these are like pinpoint supernatural gifts that are either supernatural expression or the supernatural leading of a natural gift in our life. If it's giving, here's a thought, give generously. Like, if that's your gift, if God's given you the ability to acquire wealth and to funnel that through you, and that just stirs your heart, then do it fully. Are you seeing a pattern here? Like, we should be excellent at what we're doing, and we should engage our gifts. Like, we shouldn't just leave them dormant. We should have them activated in ours. Find ways to get better at what it is God has put in us to do. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Come on, listen to some podcasts. Read some books, for crying out loud. Learn, grow, figure out how to lead better. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Oh, I was kind to Mike, but I guess someone's good. You know what I mean? No, he's giving us, there's a human responsibility here. It's all God. Yes, we all know that. We agree. Yet, we're involved in the process, and you see over and over and over and over and over in this passage here, you have some responsibility. So we see that from this morning. Okay, careful of your toes here. I'm not trying to get too hard, but if you've got gifts in here from this passage, he doesn't list everyone. He doesn't need to. He's giving us enough that we see a theme here. If you've got a gift in you, and we learned earlier that each one and everyone does. So you have a gift in you. Are you using it? Number one. Number two, are you excelling at it? Are you getting better? Are you developing it? If your gift is, you know, what, teaching is easy to pick on. You know, if your gift is teaching, are you finding other teachers to listen to or to be with? Are you finding someone to mentor you? Are you, you know, are you doing things that helps your gift? Because if you have great things to share but can't get the point across, then we're not being effective in our gifts. If your gift is serving, but you're not mature enough and you come in with immature attitude all the time, you end up blowing up things when you're just trying to help. Do you know what I mean? Like, you come in to serve and you just start doing things and you don't have any concept of the structure in the room. And like, no, thank you for helping, but we were saving that for later because they need to be kept in the fridge. And, well, I'm a servant. I'm just going to put these eggs out. No, that's for like 4 hours from now. Wow, they just don't appreciate my gift. We need to excel at the gifts that are in us, and we can get better at that. 1 Peter 4:11, New Living Translation says this. Do you have the gift of speaking? Here's the human part. Here's the challenge. Then speak like this. If your gift is speaking, then speak like this. Speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Man, that talks about faith. That talks about preparation. That talks about time with God. So he's saying all of those things in one little statement, if you're mature enough to understand what he's really saying. Speak as though God, that means that you need to have spent your time with God. If you're going to be speaking, you better have been in the secret place. If you're going to speak as though God himself were speaking through you. You better not just be arrogant because we know that goes against the word of God. So the Bible can interpret the Bible, which is really cool. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Huh. That's a fairly robust statement, isn't it? When is the last, here's a question for you. When is the last time you have served someone or used your gift in that way? You don't have to answer out loud. When's the last time, think about this, ask yourself this question. When's the last time that I used my gift with all the strength and energy that God supplies? And I think a lot of us, we use our gift, but we do an okay job. Well, I did my part. I'm not saying that there's pressure or guilt. That's not what I'm saying at all. But like, are we aspiring to kind of give it our all, to use this gift? Because, friends, we need you. In order to be a threat, and I'm not talking about COC, I'm talking about Big C Church. You know, the church needs you. Whether you're here at a different building somewhere or in a different town or gathering in a small meeting somewhere, wherever you gather, the church needs your gifts. And we need you to use them with all the strength and energy that God supplies, because that's how we're wired to work. The church needs you, and that's why we look sickly and unhealthy at times, because not all of us are using our gifts, or we're not all in an environment where we can use our gifts. We should all be using our gifts. Yeah. Okay, moving on. So, just to review the last part, you have a responsibility. Get better at using your gift. Try to excel at the greater gifts. So what is their purpose? Why do we have these gifts? They're controversial. Unless you're just going to talk about serving, no one's real controversial about serving. We all agree that one's okay. But you know, as soon as you go to some of the other ones, you know, some people get nervous. Why do we even have them? What's their purpose? 1 Peter 4:11 says this. We just read it. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. We already talked about it, but the gifts are not to bring glory to men. Track with me on this. The gifts of God are not to bring glory to men. And our hearts are drawn to those who want to be superstars. We like that for whatever reason. We get caught up in that. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Like, I listen to all kinds of different people and I'm drawn to, like, that's okay. Just let's keep our hearts checked and realize that any gift that anybody has It's charisma. It's the grace of God. It's a grace gift. It's they're probably doing, if you're attracted to that, they're probably doing their part well. That's why it's great to have lots of people doing their gifts well, so that you're like, like you're just, we're inundated, and you're challenged yourself to get your gift fired up. It's like, I don't want to be left out. This is incredible. Everyone is being amazing. And that's what I feel like around here a lot of times. Everyone's being amazing. Man, I read some of the things you guys post. I'm like, I can't write like that. That is so incredible. I look at how some of you guys serve. I'm like, I stink. I look at some of how you guys encourage other people. Like, they're with you for 30 seconds and they walk out thinking they're going to take on the world. I look at how some of you guys walk through pain with people. I'm like, I'm a pastor. Maybe I should go be a carpenter. You know, like, I'm just, wow. But watching you guys move in your gifts, it's inspiring. And it points us, when you get more than a couple doing that, all of a sudden you just start seeing Jesus. And it's not really pointing to any person, because it doesn't matter how amazing they are, you start to see the bigger picture. You start to go, wow, God, you're really amazing. You're so diverse. Okay, so it's to bring glory to God. Any gift is to bring glory to God, not to man. It's not to have, you know, Johnny's save him and heal him shingle hung up, and, you know, and I'm not against hanging up your shingle and advertising or whatever, but just, it's not so that we can be glorified and say, look at how amazing I am. I don't mind statistics. I like hearing about people that have gotten saved and lives that have been transformed and healed, marriages that have been saved or whatever, but like, it's got to be God's glory. It's all has to point back. Somehow, we've got to create that culture where it all goes back to him. And I like encouraging people, saying, good job using it, good job studying, good job serving over there. I'm not glorifying a person. I'm saying, great job on doing your part to let the gift of God flow through you. And that's okay. 1 Corinthians 12:7 that says this. Now to each one, there's one of the each ones, the manifestation or the revealing of the Holy Spirit is given for what? Common good. It's up on the screen in case you're missing it. It's just, I wanted you to say it. I felt like I was quizzing you. Each one is given the manifestation for the Spirit for what? Okay, thank you guys for catching up. It's for the common good. It's for the common good. It's not for my ego. It's not to so that I can look amazing. It's for everyone. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So we can help each other. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says this. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, we read this verse already, try to excel in those that, what? Build up the church. It's for the common good. It's for building up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12 in the NLT says this, and the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities that the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen. Everyone say strengthen. Strengthen the whole church. All of these gifts, your serving, your teaching, your encouragement, your exhortation, your mercy, your loving one another, your hospitality. That's all to make the church strong. It's to give strength to the body that belongs to Jesus Christ. It's to make the church strong. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this. What shall we say, brothers and sisters, when we come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation? Listen to this sentence. Everything must be done, what? So that the church may be built up. It takes it even beyond the gifts. It talks about our hymns, our instructions, our revelations, our tongues. Like, everything that we do better be making the church stronger, or it's not being used for its purpose. 1 Corinthians 14:2-3 says this. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Verse 3 says this. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for what? Their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Prophecy, in the New Testament is not like the Thus Saith the Lord Old Testament prophecy that was canonized. It's for these three things. It's for strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. It's to give you, it's prediction and revelation. It's letting you know what God is up to or might be up to in the future. And yes, we can get that from God's word, but also the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us at a time when we might be discouraged or at a time when we might really need to hear from God and we're maybe not in a place where we're spiritually healthy to do that, or there's just a big trial coming up or whatever God sees fit to tell us, and he'll just give us a prophetic word. And I told you last time that Marnie and I have had a couple that we really just kind of staked that in the ground. We felt it was really accurate, and it was about things that were going to be happening in the future. And one of them, it happened a few years ago at a Kingdom Youth Conference, and it was just bam, bam, bam. It was a couple years before we saw any of it start to happen. And as it did, we just looked at each other, and we're like, hey, that's the thing about the thing. We're like, whoa. What else did he say? So we dug out the notebook and we're like, what else is in here? Because sometimes we write them down and, you know, I don't know, he seemed to mean well or whatever, but maybe we misunderstood it or whatever. But this one was really, really clear. And it was just, it helped us to know we're on the right track. Because I don't know about you guys, sometimes you second guess, like, are we doing the right thing? Have you ever done that? Like, totally good intentions. Like, your heart is, like, you could take a lie detector test. My heart is in the right place. But then you're like, but did I do the right thing, you know? And sometimes those prophetic words are just good little guideposts for us. And we should not hinge everything on those. But they're just good little, they're aids to us to help us know that God sees us, God hears us, God knows where we're at. Prophecies for strengthening, encouraging, comforting. It's building people up, building up the church, strengthening the church. Oops. A person who speaks in tongues, this is found in 1 Corinthians 14, 4 through 5, is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. You see what it's all talking about there? It's talking about strengthening. It's talking about tongues versus prophecy, but that's not really what it's not really focused on that. It's focused on all of these should be about strengthening. Verse 5 says, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. And why? Why would he say that? Because prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you're saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Do you see what it keeps pointing to? It keeps pointing to gifts, not being about a person, but it's about this being strengthened. Whatever I do in my giftings, in my worship, in whatever it is, the church is meant to be built up and encouraged. It's all about strengthening and building up the church. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25. I like this one. This is not about strengthening, but this is another little caveat here. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he's convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare, God is really among you. So, again, it goes back to the very first point that we made about gifts being not about the person, but about bringing glory to God. This is just another version of that, another verse of that, saying that if unbelievers walk in and they hear the things of God being spoken, it's going to go right to their heart, and they're going to fall to their knees and go, God's here. And that was what I challenged us with this morning, that our purpose is that people encounter God. And that's what Paul was saying. These gifts are so that people encounter God. It's about people encountering God. It's about God showing himself and people encountering God. We're going to stop there. This was not an exhaustive study on all the gifts and what each one does and 14 points to being a better prophet, whatever. We just know that there's lots of different gifts. Don't get too limited in your view of them. Just let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's so important that we know that it's not this mystical, magical God potion that just happens and I just shake and all of a sudden Jesus blurts out. You know what I mean? Like we have, it's a, think of it, if it just, if it can set your mind at ease a little bit, think of all of this stuff from serving all the way up to raising people from the dead. I mean, everything in between, the most benign, mundane kind of looking one that anybody should do and could do and we're supposed to do, all the way up to the most dramatic splitting the Red Sea kind of miracles. Like every single one of them requires a response from us and a stewardship. We're big believers in stewardship here. And when we say stewardship, people normally think of money. That's a principle in the Bible about everything that we've been given. We want to steward our gifts well. And so if you have a gift, and we know that each one does, steward it well. That means manage it well. So we want to get better at those. And it's not a competition, but we want to get better so that God is more clearly portrayed. That's why we want to get better at it. And so that the church is strengthened. And that every single one of these is for strengthening the church. Taking the church that at times can be flailing and weak and saying, I can do my part to bring her life. I can do my part to see the lost saved. I can do my part to see the sick healed. I can do my part to see unregenerate people live fully invested lives in the kingdom of God. I can do my part. I'll bring what I have to the table, and I'll do it with all the energy that God has in me. And we want that here. We need that, whether it's, and when I say here, either here or if you're a part of another body somewhere, we need that. We need your gifts. That's why my heart and Stephen's heart are really drawn to the body of Christ at large. We love other pastors. We love other bodies of Christ. Like, we'll go around and argue some with them, you know, if we disagree on things or whatever. But at the end of the day, I love the church. I love the body of Christ. There is a sick and dying world out there that needs to know and needs an encounter with God. And the gifts of God help make that encounter more accessible. When we're out on the streets, when we're up in Fargo in a couple weeks, bagging up food to send all over the world, we're going to be just believing that our gift of serving is helping touch lives. When we're cleaning up streets here, or when we're working down in Houston, or when we're serving people that may not come to a church, but carry the image of God. They might not know Jesus, but they're made in His image. And they need to feel His love. And those gifts allow us to not only strengthen the church, but to give people that God encounter. Amen? Have a blessed week.